Our next presenter is Uncle Dave Lewis, a popular man in these parts. He's a composer, a collector, a freelance writer, and a widely ranging discographer. He's published in the Arsk Journal, and his article about the 20th Century Fox label is in the current issue. Pick it up. Uncle Dave has contributed the liner notes to a new album by classical composer Beata Moon, and is also working with the Archaeophone label on a CD of historic 19th century recordings associated with the evangelistic campaigns of Moody and Sankey. Uncle Dave's subject today is Charles Taze Russell?
Taze
Russell, Mixed Media in the Stone Age of Media.
Welcome again. Thank you. And if you saw my last presentation, I will admit I screwed up all that microphone stuff, but the rest of it was right. I got a nice long lecture on microphones afterward. In the academic world, in the restoration world, we often hear papers about restoration projects that belong to universities and other institutions, special projects that are being done, which is one of the reasons that I come to the Arts Conference to hear about these things. But once in a while, one encounters a private restoration project that is also worthy of note, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. Brian Kutcher, who is a volunteer at the Ford Museum in Dearborn, Michigan, has been working the last 30 years on his own dime on something called the Photo Drama of Creation, which was created between 1912 and 1914 by Charles Taze Russell. Now, who was he? He was the founder of the Watchtower magazine, which, if you happen to get collared on the street or a knock on the door from a Jehovah's Witness, that is the publication that they hand you. However, Russell was not a Jehovah's Witness. It's kind of hard to explain, sort of like saying that Raymond Scott didn't write music for Bugs Bunny. In 1916, Russell died, actually on Halloween, and the followers split into two camps, one of whom was led by a fellow named Judge Rutherford, who was the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I don't know what happened to the other group. But Russell would be described by current day standards in retrospective terminology as a Christian restorationist, somebody who wanted to go back to the days before there were denominations such as Catholic and Protestant, and create a one church atmosphere that was all embracing and not burdened by dogma. And you also might refer to him as a primitive Christian, but that would bring him into the league of like Mormons and Anabaptists and Zwingliists and what have you. And he wasn't really like that. He was just a very, very learned guy who had his own idea about the universe and God and how it related to science and other things that were more tangible. In addition to being the publisher of the Watchtower, for some reason, Charles Taze Russell got into the record business in just the last 4 years of his life. And one of his concerns dates from the last year of his life. Kurt Nock just happened to have on his truck an Angelophone record. This was a collaboration between Charles Taze Russell and the singer Henry Burr. On the paper label side is a hymn sung by Henry Burr. On the back, the etched label side, is a talk about the hymn by Charles Taze Russell. There are 50 of these, and Kurt has given me permission to pass this around. Please, the last person to handle it, well, none of you break it. Please place it on the table, and don't Joe Franklin this record. I don't own it, and if I see you leave early, I'll know who you are. Nevertheless, this was a partnership between Burr, and it may have been related. We don't know exactly who manufactured them, but they're vertical cut, and it might be related to the Paraquet company that Henry Burr also ran at about the same time. But the photo drama of creation is something very, very special, I think. It cost some $300,014 to produce. It consists of 24 12-inch records containing four lessons each for a total of 96 lessons. And they correspond with a set of 2,000 glass slides. In addition to that, there are 12 motion picture sequences of Charles Taze Russell speaking to the audience. And of course, all of the records are speaking, except for the ones that correspond to film sequences illustrating the life of Christ, which were harvested from Gaumont and Pathé in part, but some of them were specially shot for the Watchtower Bible Society by Vitagraph. And also the speaking sequences that you see were also shot by Vitagraph. And this is a recent discovery. I have an email from Brian that describes some of his personal investment in this project. Let me make sure that I get to the right page of these. And I did want to mention there is some precedent to a project like this. In 1899, there was a film called Love and War, which was found at the Library of Congress, and when it was first discovered, it was thought that this is an early story film because it had four scenes, but it isn't. These were four film sequences that were part of a pageant that lasted about a half an hour that consisted of glass slides, the four sequences, and a quartet singing a number of musical selections that went along with the story illustrated by the glass slides and films. The big difference between that and the photo drama of creation is that it's the entire history of the universe from Charles Taze Russell's perspective. It lasts 9 hours. It was originally shown on two successive nights at 4.5 hours apiece. And he also had this John Cage-like idea where if you assembled the material differently, you could get a shorter version that lasted 5 hours. Let me find the, he says that the YouTube version of the photodrama of creation, the whole thing is up on YouTube except for some of the film sequences, because he hasn't been able to locate the Victor records that go with those. He says, I'm in the process of putting together a DVD version with a watermark that extends across the lower edge of the screen, not blocking any of the image area, to serve as a gentle reminder that the modern production has a copyright and that I hold it. I spent in excess of $10,000 of my own money to collect, digitize, and restore the original elements that were used in the production. I have two nearly complete sets of original glass slides. Between them, there is a complete set that are fully hand-painted. I have five complete sets of the lecture records and six partial sets of them. I also have about six 60 minutes of original 35 millimeter nitrate motion picture film. I made a 16 millimeter Kodachrome duplicate of them when I first received them in early 1983. I'm grateful I did that, as about 200 feet of the film has deteriorated beyond usability. Thankfully, most of the hand and stencil colored footage has survived. I am currently in the process of creating an archival digital copy of each frame with a Canon EOS 30D camera. And I do have more details on that in his notes if you'd like to see them. So let's get to some film sequences. And, you know, this is a, I've compiled just some of my favorite parts of it. It's not terribly exciting. There are about three or four slides per lesson, but it's fascinating. And in addition to that, each segment begins with a bell and ends with a bell. These are on the records. And these were probably used to cue the operator of the glass slides to let them know that the commentary was beginning and ending. And some of the damaged footage is also pasted over by a watermark.
The photogramma of creation is presented by the IBSA, the International Bible Students Association. Its aim is public instruction along religio-scientific lines and in defense of the Bible as the inspired word of God. Many claim that each of its parts is more helpful than a year in college, or the four parts equal to 4 years or more. We trust that this may prove to be so for everyone now present. Asked the motive of the enterprise, we reply that it is purely philanthropic. It is supported wholly by voluntary contributions, and these come from Bible students who themselves greatly benefited, are desirous of passing the blessing on to other hearts and heads. Surely the value of an intelligent knowledge of God and the Bible is inestimable. The photodrama of creation presents the 7 days of creation as 7 epochs, each 7,000 years long, and the 7th day as not yet complete. In this view, 1,000 years of the 7th day remain, during which Earth and her population will reach the grand perfection designed by the Creator. It is held that this final 1,000 years has already begun. To this fact is accredited the great progress of our days, intellectually and materially. In other words, the great 7th day of the Genesis account is itself a great week, each day of which is 1,000 years long. The 6 already passed have been man's work week, of struggle against sin and death, under the curse pronounced in Eden. Now the great Sabbath is beginning. It is if God has promised that the curse shall roll away from before the blessings of Messiah's kingdom, for which so long we have prayed, thy kingdom come, and of which we have so often sung as the sweet by and by.
Moving to, okay, here we go. Next sequence.
The 2nd day or epoch. The expressions evening and morning and day cannot be understood to signify 24-hour days, for neither sun nor moon was visible until the 4th day. The earth was swathed in impenetrable darkness. The word day applies to any period or epoch, as for instance, the day of temptation in the wilderness. 40 years. Note again that we read of the day of Christ, evidently referring to the thousand-year day in which Messiah is to be king over all the earth. In the common affairs of life, we use the word day similarly when referring to Caesar's day, Napoleon's day, etc. We follow the theory that each of the 7 days of the creative week was a period of 7,000 years. This 7 times 7,000 equals 49,000 years, ushering in a grand jubilee epoch. As one after another the encircling rings of water and minerals approached the earth, they would spread out like a great canopy, but would not be permitted to fall upon the earth because of the circumambient air referred to in Scripture as a firmament. Saturn's rings have not yet fallen. God made the firmament in the second or Paleozoic day and separated the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. The strongly mineralized waters above the earth, held off by the firmament and centrifugal force, greatest at the equator, gradually concentrated at the two poles, where later they broke and reached the earth, forming layer after layer of mineralized earth deposited by the water which rushed from both poles toward the equator. These rings or belts of water and minerals followed each other as great deluges upon the earth, perhaps thousands of years apart. The deluge of Noah's day was the last of pure water only, heavier minerals being attracted first. Hence, minerals are generally under several layers of shale and soil.
Next sequence.
Expulsion from Eden. The word of God must stand, whether it be the word promising eternal life or the sentence of death. There is no variableness with him, neither shadow of turning. The curse, the death sentence foretold by the Lord, was executed, but not instantly. Adam was not stricken lifeless with a thunderbolt. From the very beginning, God foreknew all and had planned the redemption of Adam, Eve, and their children. To this end, Jesus came and died, the just for the unjust. As a result, ultimately, the curse of death will be removed. There shall be no more curse, no more dying, sighing or crying, nor any more pain. All of us were told, and many of us believe fully, that the penalty of Father Adam's disobedience was eternal torture, in which all of his posterity must share except a few, the saintly, the elect. Told that this was the teaching of the Bible, we accept it without proof. Now, Christian people examine their Bibles more carefully. They find that the curse or penalty for sin is a totally different one. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. This penalty of death has rested against Adam and his family for 6,000 years. It has brought sorrow, sighing, pain, and trouble. It has blighted our lives, mentally, morally, and physically. It is this curse of death that was pronounced against Father Adam, according to the Genesis account, and also according to the New Testament. Accursed is the earth for thy sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, until thou return unto the ground from whence thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. It is from this curse that Jesus redeemed us by dying, the just for the unjust. It is from this death curse that Messiah rescues all by a resurrection from the dead. By man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead.
There's one more, I believe.
One more.
The remainder of part third is deeply interesting. The teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Truly, never man spake like this man. He yet speaks to us all. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yea, and the hour is coming when all shall be privileged to hear his blessed message. All the blind eyes shall be opened, and all the mentally deaf ears shall be unstopped. Wear your peace in. Show it to your friends. Tell them what it means. Invite them to see this drama. All are welcome. Ask why we do not lift collections. We reply, the gospel is free. Nowhere in the Bible are we authorized to solicit money in God's name. Freely we have received, freely we give to others.
If anyone has suggestions as to institutional support or other support or any questions about this project, I'd be happy to hear from you. And I do have his contact information for further inquiry. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Uncle Dave. Any questions?
Just Bible students.
Yes. And his follower, as the leader of that group, introduced the term Jehovah's Witnesses in the middle of the 30s. I think it's 32.
Okay.
And that set of recordings, the followers were used for when they went around from house to house and played the record. Basically, the people would take away the records and break the phonograph. And so it went to the invention of the first vertical phonograph. So that coming for these recordings, that was introduced the first portable vertical phonograph.
Well, I do know that the Watchtower Society, Charles Taze Russell published about a dozen books.
Yep.
And when the Watchtower was taken over by the Jehovah's Witnesses, that they stopped publishing them about 1927 because it didn't conform to the new doctrine.
If you want more details on this, because there's a lot more about the history.
Oh, yeah. This is mainly just concerned with the work itself.
Two questions. How was it discovered that, or determined that Whitegraf did the filming? And
edge lettering. It's very faint on the far outside, but that they're Vitagraph prints.
You mean on the film stock?
Yeah, on the stock.
So no mystery there.
No mystery, yeah. Well, that's not known, but again,
not
you know, we
pressings or anything like that? They're not typical of Victor or Columbia or some other house?
Certainly not Victor. Maybe Columbia, but I think more likely maybe through Victor Emerson or again through something that Henry Burr had going at the time, because he did have some pull and did manufacture his own records for a couple of years.
They're very good forward sounding recordings.
Yeah, and you know the match in the last sequence I showed isn't bad. I mean, there are some things that don't really work, but I'm not sure if he listened to the recordings when he was talking before the camera or or how that was done. Yes, Phil.
Well, it looks almost too good for that, frankly. It looks like a kinetophone short, frankly. And I don't know if Cameraphone was still in business or if there's any equipment still left over that could be used for doing something like this. I've seen a couple of the discs. It would be hard to think of anybody outside of one of the big companies pressing them because nobody else pressed 12-inch to any extent. And they have very distinctive labels, as I recall. But that last section in particular looked like it was a synchronized on-set session. And because Mr. Butcher did a very good wild sync.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it being done.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking that, you know, before the conference. It's almost as good as Nursery Rhymes, the Edison Kinetophone short, which is a really convincing synchronization, though it was achieved in modern times. It wasn't, but yes, I agree. Any?
Have you seen or have you had access to play the recordings?
He has all of them.
Do you have? Have you ever seen them?
No, I haven't personally.
If you, I've seen a set of them. If you want some help seeing those, they wouldn't give them to me. I would turn them over to the Library of Congress. But I think there are people who have them that would be used.
Yeah, I mean. The Jehovah's Witnesses, I understand, have more footage, but they won't release the footage to Brian. They really would love to see this project buried. But yeah, I think it's more important, too important for that to be its ultimate fate.
All right, thank you very much, Uncle Dave.